Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Cementir Holding nine-month 2020 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Marco Maria Bianconi, Head of M&A and Investor Relations of Cementir Holding. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and good morning, everybody, and welcome to Cementir Holding 2020 nine-month results. I'm here with our Chairman and Chief Executive, Francesco Caltagirone, who's happy to answer your questions at the end of this short presentation. You should have received a presentation deck, which I'll go through quickly. If you take page number two, just a few highlights about nine-month results. Consolidated group revenues declined by 1% to 896 million euro, mainly due to Q2 COVID-19 impact. Cementir cement volumes sold were up 11.3%, thanks to a 44% increase in our Turkish subsidiary. EBITDA, headline EBITDA, declined by 2.1% to 178 million euro. This number includes a 5.6 million one-off impact from settlement of previous transactions and some equipment disposal. Recurring EBITDA would have been up by 1%. Higher EBITDA in the Nordic and Baltic, Turkey, China, and Egypt, and a lower EBITDA in Belgium, USA, and Malaysia. Net financial position reached 218.5 million euro. It's important to highlight that in the last 12 months, the group generated 127.8 million euro of free cash flow, so net financial position declined by the same amount. Moving to page three, just a few words regarding how we're dealing with COVID-19 pandemic. There's no change with the previous communication. We gave priority to health and safety of our employees, and we focus mostly on cash preservation measures. We took some cost containment and CapEx deferral initiatives. We also utilized some local social contribution and tax deferral schemes. Also, in order to prevent liquidity shortage, we drew some available existing facilities, but this cash was not utilized, so we reimbursed them in July. Moving to page four, we go through each single geography, starting with Nordic and Baltic. That's the biggest contributor to group EBITDA, around 62% of group EBITDA in the nine months. Here, the important points are that domestic volumes in Denmark were up by 6%, mainly due to increased market activity and favorable weather. While cement export was slightly down, due mainly to timing difference of U.S. shipments, they were partially offset by higher deliveries in some countries. There were also lower export of gray cement by around 8%, mainly due to lower sales in Norway and Iceland. RMC volumes and prices were up, and EBITDA in Denmark was up by 21%, driven mainly by the cement business. The weakest country was Norway, where RMC volumes were down by 15% in the period, mainly due to lower construction activity, because the domestic economy was impacted by oil price volatility and also COVID-19. There was also a temporary closure of some plants, on average, higher sale prices, and the Norwegian krone also lost some 10% versus the euro in the period. Sweden, as opposed to Norway, had favorable weather and robust construction market. RMC and aggregate sales were up by around 5%, and EBITDA was modestly up. Moving on to the next division, Belgium and France. On page five, you can see that gray cement and clinker volumes were down by 5%. A modest decrease in Belgium, more pronounced in the Netherlands with a 15% decline, and in France with a -4%. There was a sharp decline in March and April due to lockdown, around 30%, but was also a strong rebound in May and June, and also August and September, with an increase between 7 and 10% in volumes. RMC volumes were down around 13%, and a rebound here as well from September onwards. Aggregate volumes were down 10% for the period, with June and September up by 6 and 3% respectively. Overall, for this region, EBITDA declined by around 14.9%. Moving to page number 6, North America, which accounts for around 9% of our EBITDA. Here, white cement sales volumes were slightly down from last year, around minus 1%, with most of the contraction falling between April and May, again, due to COVID-19. There were lower sales, mainly in the state of Texas, Pennsylvania, and Florida, but higher sales in California. Overall, EBITDA declined by around 9.4%, also due to declining average pricing and higher distribution cost. Moving to page 7, Asia Pacific, which accounts for as well another 9% of our consolidated EBITDA. China was quite interesting because the white cement clinker sales volumes declined in the period by 5.5%. This was due to the plant shutdown between January and February of this year. But EBITDA was actually up double digit by 16% thanks to higher sales prices and a benefit from lower fuel and electricity costs. In Malaysia, on the contrary, white cement declined more sharply by 31%, mainly due to activity restrictions from March to April of this year. The local market is somewhat struggling to recover, and some large customers are facing some problems related to health and safety measures. Export volumes as well were kind of weak, 15% down due to delayed clinker shipments to Australia. They were only partially offset by higher shipment to other countries in Southeast Asia. Overall, EBITDA in Malaysia declined by 22% for this reason. Moving on to page 8, Turkey. Here, we can see that gray cement volumes increased by 44% in the domestic market, by 27%, mainly driven by infrastructural projects near Elazig, a new project in Trakya and Kars. Export nearly doubled thanks to new market opportunities. Also, RMC volumes were up sharply by 34% with higher prices. There was a devaluation of around 20% of the Turkish lira versus the euro. Despite that, we posted the strong EBITDA improvement from minus 8 to minus 5.4, including a 3.1 million one-off cost from some waste equipment disposal. Moving to page 9, Egypt, accounting for 4% of group EBITDA. White cement domestic volumes were down 2.5%, again due to lockdown measures and logistics limitations. There was a significant recovery from June to August. Also, export volumes were up by 11%, and EBITDA was up sharply by 40.3% due to higher overall volumes and lower fuel purchasing cost. There was also an improvement on the EGP euro exchange rate by 7.5% in the period. Moving then to the last slides, I jump directly to page 11, where you have the full year guidance. As you can see, the group is reaffirming its guidance in terms of revenue and EBITDA with 1.2 billion and a range of 230 to 240 million respectively. And we are improving the guidance on the net financial position to euro 160 million at year end, from previous guidance of 180. And this remains with a capex of around 60 million euro as before. So this ends my short presentation, and I would then leave the floor to any questions you may have for our chairman and chief executive.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. To remove your question, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. The first question is from Mr. Matteo Bonizzoni of Kepler. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening. I have two questions. The first one is related to the EBITDA guidance, which you have reiterated. 230-240 million would mean a decline of 7-11% year-on-year, when in the 9 months you have posted a decline of just 2% year-on-year, or plus 1% excluding extraordinary charges. And in particular, we have seen a strong improvement in the third quarter, which I would like to know if it's sustainable. I mean, if I look at your guidance, maybe not, but if I go look at other indicators, maybe yes, because in Q3 we have seen an EBITDA growth of around 12% after an 11% decline in the first half. So, I mean, the question is why you are reiterating this EBITDA guidance, which would imply a sharp decline in Q4, despite the signs of improvement which we have seen in the third quarter. And the second question is related to this improvement which we have seen in the third quarter. Looking at EBITDA by country, is not so much Scandinavia, which was overall in line with the good trend already posted in the first half, but for example, I see here Malaysia, rather than smaller countries like Egypt or Turkey, which posted a plus 3.5 million EBITDA in Q3, so totally different from the first half. If you can elaborate a little bit on the sustainability of this sharp positive inflection which we have seen in some of these countries. Thanks.
Good afternoon to everybody. So about the guidance of on the EBITDA, for sure we maintain a cautious approach because the outbreak of COVID second wave it's quite, let me say, big and mounting in some of the countries in Europe. The data so far and even October show that, let's say, on, in terms of recurring EBITDA, without any exceptional plus or minus, we are more or less on track with last year. So, from the moment that we are a few weeks away from the end of the year and we really don't know what will happen and if we will have, let me say, further lockdown in some country, we want just to be cautious. The numbers says what you have just underlined, that we are more or less in line with last year. And so this is our, let me say, our expectation if nothing's changed in terms of macros and the COVID impact. Net financial position, we have, let me say, updated the number because we see that we might even increase a little bit, let me say, or decrease the net financial position by the end of the year. About the performance of some countries, especially Turkey or Malaysia or Egypt, we think that the rebound that we are seeing, except for Turkey, that, you know, just yesterday or 2 days ago fired the financial minister, and we saw the step down of the central bank governor. We don't know what will happen in the short term, but for sure a country that today has a 12% probably higher in inflation, real estate is a defensive investment. So the rebound that we are seeing is partly due to the sharp decline of last year, but also partly because the domestic player investors are just putting their money in real estate to protect probably from
I think, a quite big wave of inflation that will arrive shortly. And also imported inflation is quite high because the devaluation against the euro and dollar in 1 year is nearly 50%, from 6.5 to close to 10 against the euro just from January, in 9 months. Today, I can say that beside France-Belgium, where we see a slightly slowdown due to the COVID impact of the last weeks, the broad perimeter seems, let me say, to thrive as we did in the last 9 months. I want also to what I already said last time, that the impact that we estimate so far in terms of revenues and EBITDA was about 50 million of revenues and 25 million of EBITDA. This means that if this should have been a normal year, probably at this time we would have been at 25 more in EBITDA and 50 million more in revenues. This also what we expect that might happen if next year will be a normal year. I don't know. I don't forecast. I don't really know also about the news that the news flow of today about the COVID vaccine. But the potential of this company, especially about the investment that we made for Cementir 4.0, the digitalization, and also the impact of the environmental investment that will arrive in the next, couple of years, should sustain the result of this company, in the medium term.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Bruno Permuti of Banca IMI. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, everyone. I have a few questions, if I may. The first one relates to Turkey. I would like to have your view on, in general view on the country, where you expect the Turkish lira could arrive. You said that there were some new opportunities for export, so if you can give us some details on the growth of the volumes, how much was related to export, and what do you expect for the Turkish market in the next few months. The second one relates to energy and fuel costs. I would like to know if you had some benefit in the last few months from this point of view, and now probably some energy costs started to rebound, and I'd like to know what you expect to have next year as an impact, or in the last quarter of the year, or in the beginning 2021, if you expect to have an increase in energy and fuel costs. And the last one concerns your net debt position. It's quite low, and the guidance you gave for year end has been improved. Do you think that there could be some room for M&A, and if yes, which are your country of interest and of eventual area of interest?
Okay, so about Turkey consumption, for sure, we increased the export from 400 to, I mean, yearly figures I'm giving you, to probably 700,000 tons. On the other side, we have to say that Turkey this year, due to the very sharp decline in the currency, increased the export as a country in year on a yearly base from 10 to 30 million, so three times the cement that usually it's exported from Turkey. And this also because the internal price is lower than the export price. So what we are expecting is that probably by the end of this year, recurring EBITDA without exceptional items, we should, end up close to break-even at the EBITDA level. That means nearly 8 million better than last year on recurring EBITDA. And I don't know what will happen, to the Turkish lira, just because, when we have this, reshuffle in the government and in the central bank level, I don't know that what will be the policy adopted. I think that, a fair rate for Turkish lira against euro, considering the real inflation, should be between 8.5 and 9, and not at 10. So probably we have some room of recovery against the euro and dollar, probably another 5 to 6, 7%. But this is just my feeling. It's not. I'm not a macro forecaster. In terms of energy price, this year we benefit, like all the sector, of a lower energy price, both from, in terms of real price and in terms also of a weaker dollar against euro. Next year, we expect to have on the electrical energy, electricity, flat to a small decline in price. On the coal, on the pet coke, it depends on the exchange rates of dollar euro, because we consolidate euro, and so far we might see an increase compared to this year of nearly 10 million, but this might be, balanced by a weaker dollar that we expect for next year. I don't remember the net financial position. It is even better than what we forecasted, and I hope also that will be even a little bit better by the end of the year. As I already stated, today is difficult to plan an agenda of M&A because, as you can see, the economy is scattered, in terms of rebound from place to place. For sure, as I already said, what we are looking for is to have a green field in Southern Asia, Southeast Asia, for a white new plant, and just for pure M&A, but not now, and I don't think, and not even in the next year, we look at Central Northern Europe and USA and Canada, even if in USA, especially the multiple are very high, and we are not keen to, invest at this multiple. So, increasing our capability to invest, lowering our net non-financial position, but as you know, as also we did in the last 20 years, we just invest when we find the right opportunity.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. The next question comes from Michele Baldelli of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning to everybody. Good afternoon to everybody. I have a couple of questions that relate to the sustainability of margins in Egypt and then also in the Turkish market. If you can give us a little bit of flavor on what you think, where the margins should ponder in the next few quarters. And another question on the reverse. U.S. margins were pretty weak, so I was wondering if you can give us some color on the drivers and how to bring back profitability to what it was last year. Thank you.
About Egypt and Turkey, I think that, starting from Turkey, 90% of the players are domestic players in Turkey, so they produce revenues in Turkish lira, and you know that since probably 1 and 1.5 years, every player, also in the steel sector, are forced to pay energy in dollars. So this sharp increase in export from Turkey is due because otherwise, especially the domestic player, don't have the currency to pay electricity and also petcoke. So and also for this reason, the price, and this is also one of the reasons we also started to go towards a positive EBITDA, is because due to the inflation or the declining value of the Turkish lira, the imported inflation of the energy, the price, let me say, increased nearly every month, let's say, in Turkish lira. In euro, quite a little, but let me say, it's enough to bring back, to zero EBITDA level. I think that this movement should continue next year, because most of the domestic player have debt in strong currency, dollar and euro, and so with a devaluated Turkish lira, they need more Turkish lira to pay back their debt. In Egypt, let me say, we think that also here, I hope that we should continue this on this path of recovery. The security issue, it seems, I mean, this year we didn't have any major issue. The situation is normalizing. Also, a few weeks ago, the flow of gas from Egypt to Israel restarted. And we think from the moment that we export from Egypt nearly the 60%, that the market should, and we export only white cement. And in the domestic market, we just we have the 50% of market share together with the other the only player on white cement. So we think that the situation is stable and improving for the export. On USA, you know, besides the COVID, the election, I mean, the market was also weak. Frankly speaking, looking at the numbers just from a euro point of view, because we saw nearly an 8-9% of devaluation from dollars to euro. So I don't see that the result in the USA is weak. It depends, I mean, the future of the COVID. Now we have, let me say, it seems that more or less this elections is, finished, and I am, beside the COVID, moderately optimistic for the USA market, for white cement for next year.
Okay, thank you very much. And just to follow up on Turkey, but just to split it down, what are the trends? Can we say that you are performing in terms also of volumes, but also on profitability, thanks to your international network? Because compared to the domestic volumes, the exports are helping you quite a bit. Is it fair to say so?
I think that the market broadly, I mean, in every, because we are at the, more or less at the four corner of Turkey, in some, in two of our, let me say, plants, we are at full capacity.
Okay.
So, I mean, the decline that we saw last year, the difficulties of some domestic player, the fact that some of them, let me say, cannot react promptly, for sure, for us, we don't have debt in Turkey. We have a network for the export, and also we don't have the issue to, let me say, supply dollars or euro to buy energy for the domestic market.
Leo, thank you very much.
The next question is from Daniele Albandri of Stifel Europe. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Daniele Brandi at Stifel. Just a question for me. It seems that the loss from the Italian business has reduced quite significantly. Can you provide us some more insight into this, please? Thank you.
Italy, let's say, as you know, 2 years ago, we sold all the Italian business, and now we have just a secondary headquarter here. We are also moving and reorganizing the company across all the our organization abroad. So for this reason, let's say, here we have mainly, let me say, the cost of, let me say, the headquarter with around 50 people. And also we are moving part of the organization where we have the business, Scandinavia, Turkey, Netherlands, where we have now the our main headquarters. So this is the reason I don't think that Italy will, let me say, see any kind of growth, because it's just where we are based, and also I don't think that we are going or we are willing to develop any kind of business here.
Thank you.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. Gentlemen, at this time, there are no questions registered. Excuse me, we do have a question that just registered from Mr. Marco Opipari from Fidentis Equities. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I have only a question on the buyback program. I was wondering if you have a target of stocks to purchase in, before the end of the year, and if you think to accelerate the program. Thank you.
So far, let's say that we are we started 3 weeks ago, and we buy whatever we can buy due to the limit that we have, that today from, let me say, Borsa Italiana and from Consob, there are two limits. One is the 20% of the turnover daily, so we cannot buy more than 20% of the stocks. And then also we cannot buy more than 20% of the average of the shares of exchanged in the last month. So, frankly speaking, we are today in a range between 10 and 13,000 stocks that we can buy as a maximum. Today, we saw, let me say, around 200,000 shares exchanged, but let me say, we don't know if this will continue, the average will increase, but let me say, the average today allow us to buy, and so, by the end of the year, we continue day by day, but let me say, in the range that we can, due to the limitation for everybody that, let me say, want to buy own shares in Italy on the or in the Italian stock exchange.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no questions registered at this time.
Okay, so thank you very much for your interest in Cementir Holding, and I wish you a pleasant continuation of your evening and day. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a nice evening.